TV Bible Study is a serious effort to study in depth every word of God. Each 30-minute lesson has been carefully arranged to assist you with your study of God's Word. And now for your TV Bible Study teacher, Richard Rogers.
Welcome again to the TV Bible Study. As we've said over and over again, we're glad that you're studying the Bible with us. We're in a study of Bible history. We're studying the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy that we call the Hebrew Beginnings. This is lesson number 17, which is the second lesson on the life of Joseph. In the first lesson that we studied last time, we saw Joseph as the preferred son, as his father preferred him above all of his other brothers, and as he in his pride was lifted up to tell of his dreams and then finally sold into a passing band of Ishmaelites or Midianites into Egypt under the household of Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guards. And that brings us to the second lesson on Joseph's life, the one today, on the patient sufferer. That goes from chapter 39, verse 1, through chapter 41, verse 36. There's a lot of material in today's lesson, so let's get right into it. Turn to chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. And again, let me plead with you to open your Bibles during our study and read along with us and mark down anything that seems important to you. In chapter 39, beginning with verse 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hand of the Ishmaelites that brought him down thither." I don't have a lot of time to spend on it, but that verse and some others that we'll see will really prove that somebody other than the Egyptians presently rule Egypt. You know, the very fact that he was the captain of Pharaoh's guard, if the Egyptians ruled Egypt, would make him an Egyptian. It wouldn't be unusual to say, you know, the general of the army of the United States, an American. I mean, you wouldn't say that. Naturally, he's an American. But suppose the Mexicans ruled America. Then you'd say the general of the United States and America, because it would be unusual. We'll find out later that this man, this Pharaoh, is definitely not an Egyptian. That would mean Potiphar was one unusual kind of fellow, because Potiphar, an Egyptian, is the captain of all of Pharaoh, a non-Egyptian's army. So Potiphar is a very noble man. And Joseph becomes the slave then in the house of the second greatest man in Egypt. Now verse 2 says, "And Jehovah was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight, and he made him overseer over his house and over all that he had." So just in a short period of time, Joseph becomes the head of Potiphar's house. All that Potiphar has is under Joseph's control. He's what's called the steward of Potiphar's house. And it's required in stewards that they be found faithful. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 2, "Now Jehovah blesses the house of the Egyptian for Joseph's sake, and the Egyptian becomes richer and richer and richer." But then I read in verse 6, chapter 39, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that was with him, save the bread that he did eat. And Joseph was comely and well favored." I mean, he so controlled the house of Potiphar that if anybody was to ask Potiphar, "How much money do you have?" he'd say, "Ask that little Jew over there. He knows. Ask that steward, because he knows how much I have. I do not know." Now, Potiphar's wife, beginning in verse 7, is pictured in the Bible as a lustful woman. Joseph is a comely individual. That means he's handsome. Well-favored. That means he's built well. So here's a handsome, well-built fellow. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me." That's some temptation, I'm sure. Because I'm sure that the number two fellow in Egypt would have a very handsome wife. That this would be a very beautiful woman. So here's a handsome man tempted by a beautiful woman. But now notice Joseph's reply, beginning in verse 8. "And he refused, and said to his master's wife, "Behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house. And he hath put all that he hath into my hand. And he is not greater in this house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, that sounded a little strange. I would have expected him to say, "and sin against my master." But he doesn't say that. Notice there are four reasons why Joseph resists temptation. And this would be an important lesson, wouldn't it? Because I do want to resist temptation. There are four reasons why Joseph resists temptation. Number one is his master's trust. He says, "My master trusts me. He's given all that he has into my hand." Number two, this is his master's wife. He said, "I can't lie with you because you are my master's wife." Number three was his personal character. He just wasn't that kind of a man, he's telling her. He said, "Look, I don't do that because I am a trusted man. I'm a trustful man. I'm a man of God." And number four, he didn't do it because of God's presence, because God was looking. Potiphar trusted him. She was Potiphar's wife. He was personally a righteous man, and he knew God was looking. You know, it's that last reason that I need to remember more often than any other, don't you? The fact that God's looking. I don't particularly like the song that I hear sung sometimes, there's an all-seeing eye watching you, because I don't like the picture of God as some, you know, great big old eye. But God's eyes are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says. You might mark that scripture down. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and the good. So Joseph resists the temptation the first time. But now the text says, it came to pass day after day that she said, "Come lie with me." I mean, she doesn't give up. She's a lustful woman there in verse 10, and she wants Joseph to come get into bed with her. And then in verse 12 it says, she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." Now she puts hands on him. I mean, she's been talking to him day after day, and now she lays her hands on him and says, "Come lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He's fulfilling, even before it was written, Paul's admonition to Timothy, flee youthful lust. He says, "How can I do this great evil?" I tell you how he can. Stay there with her hands on him. I mean, if he stays there with her trying to caress him and get him to commit adultery with her, he'll do it. Sometimes I need to leave my garment maybe in the place of sin. I need to get out so quick that I leave something that belongs to me in the place of sin. And now she's going to tell on him, see, or invent a story. First of all, she calls in the servants and says, "See what this Hebrew that my husband has brought in has tried to do? He's tried to lie with me. And when I fought him, he ran away, and the proof of it is I have here his garment." And when Potiphar comes in that night, she tells him all of these things. And it says in verse 19 that his wrath was kindled. Now, I think if I read carefully enough, his wrath is kindled at her, not at Joseph. Because I'm going to find out in a minute that the prison he puts him into is his own prison. The prison that Potiphar is over, and he makes him the master of all the prison. If he believed Joseph had done that, Joseph's head would have rolled. Or Joseph would have been hung. Or he'd run a sword through him. But instead he puts him in the prison that he, Potiphar, is the master of, and makes him the number one man in the prison. This is probably not even the first handsome young man that his wife has tried to commit adultery with. But he puts Joseph in prison. He'd have to, wouldn't he, to keep peace at home. But Jehovah, it says in verse 21, was with Joseph, chapter 39, verse 21. But Jehovah was with Joseph and showed kindness unto him and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. This would be the man that Potiphar would have over the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed Joseph into Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. Now he's the head of the prison. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Jehovah was with him. And that which he did, Jehovah made to prosper. Now, I don't know exactly how old Joseph is here. Perhaps nearly 28 now, because he'll be 30 when he is made the prime minister of all of Egypt later on. But he is old enough now, you see, that this keeper of the prison can trust all that he has into Joseph's hand. So Joseph is definitely the man that is entrusted by the keeper of the prison. Now, in chapter 40, Joseph begins to interpret dreams. And it might be good for us to look at Joseph in prison in chapter 40 and see that there'll be primarily three main points. We'll see, first of all, a fortunate baker. Then we'll see a forsaken butler. And then we'll see Joseph as the faithful interpreter in prison and then in Pharaoh's house. In chapter 40, beginning with verse 1, I want you to read again the text with me. I know that in this lesson, we're doing a lot of reading. And that's good, isn't it? Because that means God's speaking more than I'm speaking. And that's the way we like it. In chapter 40, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt..." Now, the butler would be the chief fella that was involved in seeing that the king ate the right food and drank the right drink and wore the right clothes. He would be sort of the valet, the personal servant of the king. "The butler of the king and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against his two officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard." Look at that verse 3. "He put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison," the place where Joseph was bound. So where was Joseph in prison? In the house of Potiphar. In the house of the captain of the guard. So he'd been a slave in Potiphar's house, and now he's a prisoner in Potiphar's house. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Potiphar is still charging Joseph, see? So Potiphar still trusts him. "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he ministered unto them, and they continued a season in war." Now later on, they dream a dream. Both of them do. And Joseph is going to interpret the dreams. He asked them, Joseph does, "Why do you fellows look so sad?" And they say, "Because we've dreamed a dream, and no one is able to interpret the dream." And Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" That's the latter portion of verse 8. "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it me, I pray you." Joseph just believes that God will give him the interpretation of the dream. Now, the butler has a dream, and in that dream, he sees a vine before him with three branches on it, and Pharaoh's cup is in his hand, and he takes the grapes from the vine, and he presses the cup into Pharaoh's hand. In other words, he gives Pharaoh grape juice to drink. And Joseph said, this is the, verse 12, chapter 40. Joseph said, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up thy head, restore thee to thy office, and thou will give Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former matter, which thou, when thou wast his butler. But when you get there, have me in remembrance. Remember me. And speak of me to Pharaoh. For I was stolen out of the hand of the Hebrews, and I have done nothing that should have put me in the dungeon. Now, I'm going to be grateful in a moment that this butler is a forgetful butler. Because had he, not only a fortunate butler, he's a forgetful butler. Because had he told Pharaoh at that time about Joseph, and Pharaoh would have gotten Joseph out of prison, it'd been too early. Because Joseph would have been then just another slave in Egypt. Or he'd been sent back home, and there was going to be a famine, and he'd never gotten to be prime minister of Egypt. Now, the chief baker, in verse 16, sees that the interpretation is good to the butler. So he tells Joseph his dream. He said, "I had 3 baskets of white bread on my head. And in the uppermost, there were all kind of baked food for Pharaoh. And the birds of the heavens did come and eat the bread out of the basket upon my head." And then in verse 18, Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. within yet 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head from off of you, and shall hang you upon a tree, and the birds shall eat the flesh from off of thee." Now that's an unfortunate baker. That's a forsaken baker. I don't know why Pharaoh did that. That text doesn't say. Pharaoh doesn't have to answer to anybody. But God later on, he's going to have to answer to God one day, but he doesn't have to tell me why he put the butler back where he belonged and killed the baker and hung him up and the birds of the heavens ate his flesh. But that's exactly what happened. Read with me, starting in verse 20. "And it came to pass the third day, on Pharaoh's birthday, that he did exactly as he said he would do there, that he lifts up the butler and makes a great feast and makes him again to be head of the butlers. And he lifts the head of the chief bakers among his servants. And he restored the chief butler under his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet," verse 23, the whole reason I've come to this text, "yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." Again, I don't know why he forget him, but I'm glad he did. Because we're going to have to wait 2 full years before he's needed in Pharaoh's house. In chapter 41, the first few verses, at least verses 1 through 36, he will interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. And this is the most important part of our lesson today. We have about 10 minutes left to discuss it. So read with me, starting in verse 1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years. For 2 years, the butler doesn't remember Joseph. That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. That would be the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, 7 cows, well-favored and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine, or cows, did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. Get the picture there. I mean, here's 7 beautiful, sleek, fat cows, and 7 ugly, skinny, scrawny cows. And the skinny, scrawny eat up the fat. And if I've read it correctly, they don't get any fatter. Then he dreams again in verse 5. And this time, he sees 7 ears of grain come up on 1 stalk. Now, I don't know what kind of grain it was. The best way I can visualize it is corn. You know, here's a stalk of corn. And there's 7 ears of corn up on that stalk, fat and good. I mean, you know, they look like Iowa corn. You know, just tremendous corn. And then he says, verse 6, "Behold, I didn't intend to offend anybody else that grows corn, but Iowa corn is good corn." Verse 6, "And behold, 7 ears, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 rank and full ears." Now get that picture. I mean, I did have 14 ears of corn, 7 I liked and 7 I didn't like. And now I didn't get to eat a single ear of corn, and now I've only got 7 ears I wouldn't want to eat anyway. Lean and not any good. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. In the morning, verse 8, "his spirit is troubled, and he called for all of the magicians, all the sacred scribes of Egypt, and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret it unto Pharaoh." None of his wise men could interpret it. "And then spake the chief butler and said, boy, today I remember my fault." I'm glad that he didn't remember it till now. He said, "Today I remember something that I've forgotten. I don't want Pharaoh. You remember when Pharaoh was mad at me and put me into prison? I dreamed a dream in prison. And there was a man there, a Hebrew servant, the captain of the servant of the captain of the guard, and he told me my dream. And the banker had a dream. And he told him the dream, and it came to pass just like he said." And so Pharaoh, in verse 14, sends for Joseph to bring him hastily out of prison. And Joseph, in verse 14, shaves himself and changes his raiment and comes unto Pharaoh. Joseph's a smart fella. He's going to come dressed right. He's going to come cleanly shaven. And Pharaoh said, I've dreamed a dream. And I know you can interpret the dream. Now, if Joseph is still the proud young man that came into Egypt, he might say, yeah, I can interpret the dream. Tell it to me. But notice what he says in verse 16. Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it's not in me. God will give thee an answer of peace. He said, I can't interpret it, but God can. You just tell me the dream, and God will give you an answer to the dream. And then he repeated the dream. We're not going to read it again. But he repeated it in verse 17 through 24. He says about the cows and about the corn. And he said, I told it to the magicians, and no one was able to tell me what the dream meant. Now start reading with me in verse 25. And Joseph will tell him what the dream means. Now we're going to read all of this. We're going to read it because it's important. And we're going to read it because it's the Word of God. Starting in verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. I thought he had two dreams. What he means is, both of them mean the same thing. The dream of Pharaoh is one. What God is about to do, he hath declared unto Pharaoh. The seven good cows are 7 years. And the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven lean and ill-favored cows that came up after them are 7 years. And also the 7 years blasted with the east wind, they shall be 7 years of famine. So he says, there will be 7 years of plenty, like there were seven fat cows and seven fat ears, followed by 7 years of famine, as there were seven lean cows and seven lean ears. Then verse 28. That is the thing which I spake unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he has shown unto Pharaoh. Behold, there shall come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine which followed, for it shall be very grievous. So he tells him, God just told you the future. There will be 7 years so beautiful you've not seen the like of them, and then 7 years so ugly you've not seen the like of them. And they'll be so bad you'll forget all the good. Then he said, verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will surely and shortly bring it to pass. He said, God said it twice because he wanted to make it certain. Anytime God repeats something, we better listen up close. I mean, we better really pay attention. Anytime God says it once and then says it again, we better really listen, hadn't we? That's why several times Jesus will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. That's why Jeremiah said, O earth, 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 hear my voice. You see, when God repeats something, you know it's important, because God's not like preachers and teachers who repeat things, you know, just for emphasis' sake. He repeats them because of the fact he wants them to be made certain. Now look at Joseph's advice in verse 33. He says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint overseers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt, 20%, in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that come and lay up grain under the hand of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. And the food shall be for a store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now I think Joseph sort of has an idea who that wise and discreet man might be. But he says, let us appoint, let you appoint Pharaoh, a wise and discreet man, let him tax the people 20% during the time of famine. Now, you know, during the time of plenty, if I've got a tremendous crop, the like of which I've never seen, and you take 20%, I've still got more than I've ever had. I mean, I'll still have more to spend and more to eat and more to enjoy than I've ever had before. Now, Pharaoh says in verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so wise and discreet as thou art. thou shalt be over my house. And according to thy word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thee. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Ain't that some story of the providence of God? I mean, here the preferred son, the proud young 17-year-old fella, gets sold into Egypt, becomes a slave, first of all, in the house of Potiphar, very quickly rises in his house to be the steward over all of his riches. And he's probably the second richest man in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. But then the wife, you know, causes him to be sold into prison. But God wanted him in that prison, didn't he? Because it was only in the prison that he can meet the butler. And he interprets the butler's dream and asks him to remember him. But God chose a forgetful man to put in the prison so he would forget it. And then he forgot it for the 2 full years he needed to forget it. And now Joseph has interpreted Pharaoh's dream and given Pharaoh good advice. Find a wise and discreet fellow and sit him over all of your land. And Pharaoh said, you're the man. I mean, you're the very one. Now, why does he need to be prime minister of Egypt? He needs to be prime minister of Egypt not to enrich Pharaoh's house, which he'll do, not to preserve Egypt's land, which he'll do, but he needs to be there to preserve the seed, because there's going to be a famine that would have killed all of Jacob's house had they not been preserved in the land of Egypt. And God has sent Joseph into Egypt to preserve the seed through which Jesus will come, and you and I will be saved. See, a famine can't defeat God. I mean, a tremendous famine throughout all of the world cannot defeat God. God had His way with an Ishmaelite band. God had His way with a captain of the guard. God had His way with a lustful woman. God had His way with a forgetful butler. God had His way with a dreaming Pharaoh. God had His way with a faithful Joseph. I really believe that this lesson is one of the most powerful in all of the Bible. And we'll talk about it again on the providence of God. It's a great joy for you and I to be here together studying the Word of God. I hope that you continue to read your Word, and may God bless you and give you all kind of peace in believing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
These lessons are available on video cassette tapes for use with video cassette players or TV station broadcasting. Audio cassette tapes are also available. This systematic study of the Bible was designed for a variety of uses: teacher training programs, substitute teacher needs, community Bible study programs on local TV, and hospital closed circuit programs, to mention a few. God bless your study of His Word.